Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, probably the most spoken on passage of scripture on Mother's Day. And it's been a long time since we've done it, so I thought, well, let's look at that this morning. As you find your place there, let's stand out of respect for the word of God as I read, beginning with verse number 10. Proverbs 31, 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, we're so grateful for this portrait of this virtuous woman given to us here in this passage of Scripture. And Father, now as we spend just a few moments considering a few simple thoughts, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would challenge us and encourage us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. While this passage of Scripture is often used on Mother's Day, directed for mothers, the passage isn't specifically for a mother. We find that the woman described here is a mother because it makes reference to her children. But it's talking about a virtuous woman. Not all women are mothers, and not all mothers are moms. Now, the difference between a mother and a mom is that a mother is a woman who gives birth to a child, but a mom is someone who mothers that child. I hesitate to say this, but I'll say it anyway. I've worked in bus ministry for a long time. Now, I obviously haven't here recently, but I've seen a lot of homes where there's been a mother in the house that has lacked a mom. And we get a lot of kids on the bus ministry, in the bus ministry, that have mothers, but they need a mom. A big difference between the two. Now, the way to be a mom is what's described for us here in this chapter. And so I think this is a very appropriate passage of Scripture to use for Mother's Day and to study and to encourage our mothers and our ladies and our young ladies as well. He begins in verse number 10 by saying, who can find a virtuous woman? It's almost like there's some frustration there, trying to find such a one as described here. And as he says that her price is far above rubies. God is trying to get across the point that so many women out there in society do not meet the standards given to us here in this passage of Scripture. They would not see this portrait reflected back to them should they look in the mirror of God's Word. God says there's really no reason why they shouldn't, but it's a choice that they make, choices that they make in their lives. You see, this is something that all the ladies in this room, irregardless of age, irregardless of background, this is something that all can attain. Now, it goes without saying here that this one, first of all, is saved. that they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross of Calvary. And they have a relationship with God. Because it's only as they have a relationship with God, or you have a relationship with God, that you can ever do what's described here in this passage of Scripture. And so it all comes down to, first of all, admitting you're a sinner. And secondly, acknowledging that Jesus paid the debt for your sin. And then simply receiving the free gift. Realizing and accepting it as a gift, that there's nothing you can do to repay that gift. And just simply receiving Him as your Savior. That's where it all begins. But from there, it goes on to what's described for us here. And the first thing we find in verse number 11, we find that she is dependable. Dependable. Verse number 11 tells us the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. This is speaking of a husband who's so contented with his wife and in every sphere of their marriage and relationship that he has no desire for anything else. Usually when we see the word spoil in the Word of God, it's talking about material things. It's talking about going into a city and plundering by an army and taking back the spoil, anything of value. And what this is describing is a man who is so satisfied with the woman in his life that there is no need for anything else, no need for any other woman. His heart does safely trust in her. She is dependable, built on a relationship, built over time as they got to know each other and as he saw the value of her and saw that this is a woman who is virtuous, whose price is far above rubies. We see, secondly, not only is she dependable, she's devoted in verse number 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This would involve many different areas. Because a wife knows her husband better than anybody else on earth. At least she better. And she's going to know his failures and his faults and his weaknesses. But because she is devoted to her husband, she doesn't go out broadcasting his weakness. She doesn't go out talking about all the mistakes he makes in his life. Because every man does do those things, and every man has those weaknesses. But instead, she lifts them up and she builds them up. And that's part of the reason why his heart does safely trust in her. Backing up just a moment, it doesn't just say that her husband trusts in her, does it? It says his heart. Talking about that innermost, deepest trust that a man can have in another individual. And that trust should be in his wife as in no other individual on the planet. Second only to the trust that a man has in Almighty God. But she's earned that trust through her devotion. He safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need of spoil because she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Not exposing his weaknesses and exposing his errors. Doing him good in the home and making sure that home is a refuge for him from the world. And as they say, every man's home is his castle, a place he can go for sanctuary from the workplace. Now, oftentimes we think that this is written in a culture where the woman did not work and all she had to do was care for the household. And that things are so much different today because we have so many working mothers. How can she keep that home, that sanctuary for her husband? But I think if you just honestly read this, you find this was a working mother and a working wife. She was at least as busy as her husband. At least as busy as her husband. And yet she was still able to maintain that home as a sanctuary for him. You see, this talks about not bringing home the cares and problems of the world and in the workplace, but simply making that home a happy place for both and for everyone. Her devotion to her husband in all areas. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. We see in verse 12, not only is she dependable, not only is she devoted, but she's also diligent. Verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now this idea and concept of diligence is spoken of in other places here in the chapter. It talks about her staying up late, and it talks about her getting up early before everyone else. We see the diligence of this woman displayed for us. But here in verse number 13, the idea that she is seeking out things to make an income and make a living and help in the home there with the finances, and that she works willingly. She's not doing it against her own will, because her whole focus is on the good of the home. Her whole focus is on the good of her husband. Her whole focus is on the good of her children. And then her focus, only after our having a focus on those things, only then is the focus on herself. She's diligent in what she does. She doesn't stop till she has it done right. Works willingly. As we move into verse number 14, we read a curious verse where it says that she is like merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. From this verse, I get the word delightful. Delightful. She has a variety in the home, and when she cooks a meal, she doesn't cook the same thing over and over again. Now, I hesitate to say this, and Amy will know better than anybody else, that I don't like change, especially when it comes to food. I like to eat. If I go to a restaurant, I buy the same thing every time. Unless I don't like it, then I try something else. I don't like going to McDonald's anymore. Years ago, and you may remember this, it's been a long time though, they had what they called the Cajun chicken sandwich. Best fast food sandwich that has ever been made. They only sold it for a couple of years. They took it off, and I hated McDonald's for it. But then they recently came out with their Southern style chicken. I really liked the Southern style. Not as good as the Cajun chicken, but I really liked it. It was a mimic of the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. And they almost were to Chick-fil-A, but not quite. Chick-fil-A's still better. But I liked it, and guess what? They took off the menu. Now I go to McDonald's, I stare up at the menu, and I can't make up my mind. I like to eat, I don't like change. But that's exactly what this verse is talking about. Because the reference there to merchant ships is that she put on the table that which comes from around the world. She gave her husband a variety of different tastes and different things to eat. And that's a good thing. It brought delight to her husband, brought delight to her children. See, Amy's learned me. Last night, she had something she knew I didn't really care for, but she had a backup plan. Now, I didn't take advantage of the backup plan because I wanted to moan and grumble and complain, and so I ate what she made instead of going to plan B. So she's catching on finally. But she brings a variety for the kids so they don't have to eat the same old mundane thing like I like to eat, same thing day after day. And that's what it's talking about. Finding ways to make the home delightful. So it isn't just the same old every day where everybody's, this is boring. You know, that's what a mother does. Now, I think as we go through this chapter, you'll find a good synonym for mother. That synonym would be selfless. Selfless. You see, she's always putting somebody else before herself. That's this virtuous woman, and it comes so naturally to women and to mothers especially. That's why God didn't have men be mothers. If a man had a baby, would he be called a mother? Or would we just redefine father? That's a good question. We'll debate that some other time. But you see, us men are so self-centered that is very frustrating for you ladies because you're so naturally other-centered. And it's more difficult for us than for you. Especially as mothers, you just are able to do that. And it just amazes me to no end to see that. But she's thinking about what others would like and what would please other people. Now, if it was me, I just go to the store and buy what I like and bring it home. If the kids don't like it, tough. We got grass in the backyard if they get hungry. They'll learn to like it. It's just the way it works. But mothers don't think that way, do they? Amy will often ask the kids, what do you want from the store? What do you want for dinner? I wouldn't bother. That's too much trouble for me. That's why I'm not mother, and she is. And you moms are just like that, putting others first, especially those in your home, your husband and your children, and that makes you virtuous. Did you ever notice the Bible doesn't have a chapter on the virtuous man? Think about it. Okay, so we've seen that she's dependable, she's devoted, she's diligent, she's delightful. Verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Dedicated. Dedicated. It takes dedication to get up night after night when it's only supposed to be morning that you get up. And so here we see her rising early, long before day, getting the house ready for everybody else. Dedication. You know, it'd be so nice to be able to sleep in, wouldn't it? But a mother doesn't know how to do that, especially with young children, because young kids never like to sleep in, do they? Not till they get to be teenagers. And by then, moms are usually to the point where they're so used to getting up early, they can't sleep in if they want to. But they're very dedicated to the home. A virtuous woman is dedicated to those that God has put around her. This even extends beyond the immediate family because it talks there about giving a portion to her maidens and giving meat to the household. The household and the maidens were the servants that were very common in that culture. Those that were in the home and working for her husband and running the family business and doing this and taking care of the livestock and doing that. And she made sure, she felt it was her responsibility, even though they would probably at this point have a steward in the house who was responsible for these things, she always took the responsibility because she always had. That's dedication. Dedication to the home and dedication to the family and dedication to anyone that she felt was her responsibility. Verse number 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. We find from this verse and from others in here, we find that she's discerning. She's discerning. And we like to make a lot of jokes about blondes, blonde jokes. My mind's racing real quick. I'm trying to think of, okay, I thought of it. There were two Ohio State fans, well, not fans, but football players. You know how they try to find jobs for them to do so they can have money so it doesn't look like they're being paid off, which most of them are anyway. But there's two Ohio State football players staring up to the top of a flagpole there on the campus. And along walks a blonde. And the blonde looks at them, and of course she knew who they were. She says, "What are you fellas doing?" One of the football players says to her, "Well, we've been told to measure how tall this flagpole is." Typical football player job, to keep them there on salary at the college. And she said, "Well, what's the problem? We find out how tall that flagpole is." He said, "Well, we don't have a ladder or any way to get up to the top of that to find out how tall it is." She says, "Well, here, let me help you. Give me your wrench." And so she grabs her wrench, she undoes the bolt at the bottom of the pole. She lays it down, says, "Let me see your tape measure." She gets the tape measure, she measures, says, "Okay, it's 24 feet. Gives him back the tape measure, the rules walks, a ruler, or a wrench in the ruler, and goes her way. And the one football player looks over at the other and says, "Shows you how stupid she is. We have to know the height, but she measured the length." You know, we give blondes a hard time. We've got all kinds of blonde jokes. My favorite is the blonde who wanted to get a helicopter's license. She just thought it'd be fun to be able to fly a helicopter. So she went down to the helicopter licensing school. And the instructor that was there said, "Well, we only have one helicopter still on the ground. All the others are up in training. And it's a one-seated helicopter. But I'll tell you what we can do. You get in that helicopter, and I'll stay here on the ground, and we'll talk through the radio, and I'll tell you everything you need to do, and you'll be okay." And so that's what they do. And she gets up in the air, and she's flying all around and up and down and side to side, and she's doing really, really well. And before you knew it, all of a sudden it comes dropping out of the sky like a rock. And crashes. But as the instructor runs out there, amazingly, he sees her walking away from the wreckage, and he asks her, what happened? You were doing so well. She says, yeah, things were going fine until I turned off the ceiling fan. So we give blondes a hard time, but the fact of the matter is, a virtuous woman, irregardless of hair color, is discerning. She's able to evaluate here in verse number 16 the worth of a piece of property. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Able to raise the vineyards, the vines, the grapes, all on her own. We see throughout this passage of Scripture her doing the same thing, showing discernment, a virtuous woman. We see also in verses 17 and 18 that she's disciplined. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. As I read verse 17, I think, wouldn't it be nice, ladies, if you could have kept your girlish figure? Aaron kept his, but most of you ladies didn't have that. It's been a long time since I picked on you. But you know, here it tells us the virtuous woman doesn't take that so much into account because she realizes there's a greater value than the physical appearance. And so as she's depicted here in this passage, it's so hardworking and so diligent and so dedicated, so devoted to her home, that the work that she's doing causes her body to change as just giving children, bearing children, causes the body to change. But it's not a concern of hers. What she's concerned about is the ability to serve her family, to serve her children, and see those children raised up healthy and have their needs met in life growing up. And so it doesn't bother her when she looks and she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That she doesn't look like a little girl anymore. She looks like she's aging, let's just put it that way. Disciplined. Putting others first. Laying her hands to the spindle in verse 19 and the hands to the distaff. Working and to the all hours of the night, doing the difficult jobs. As it says in verse 18, her candle goeth not out by night. Now link that up with a few verses earlier when it said that she gets up while it's still night. I read this passage of Scripture, I wonder, well, how much sleep does this lady get? The only answer I can come up with is probably not enough because she's putting others first. Remember the synonym for mother is selfless. Selfless. Well, I'm going to skip down. I mean, there's a lot more here. A lot of it becomes repetitious of these points that we've said. But I want to focus in on one last thing, and that begins in verse 28. We find that she's deserving. Deserving. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Do you realize this verse goes completely contrary to the normal philosophy of motherhood that's out there in wifery? I don't know what else to call it. Her husband praises her. The world would say, now a wife will be praised if she still looks like a little girl. Or has a girlish, let's put it that way, girlish figure. The world philosophy says if a wife can maintain her beauty, her husband will praise her. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things, but that's not what a husband begins to appreciate about his wife. His husband appreciates the virtue of his wife. And how dependable and how devoted and how diligent and how delightful and how dedicated and how discerning and how disciplined she is. Those are the things that begin to matter. And it's a very foolish man who says the only thing that matters is the physical appearance. A very foolish man who says that. Because he'll never be satisfied. Because whether you realize it or not, usually when you attract your husband or your future husband, Usually it's that physical appearance. You bat your eyelashes at him and he melts because he likes what he sees. It's just what happens. But what also happens is after a while he grows accustomed to what you look like. And you bat your eyelashes and he doesn't melt like he used to because of your physical appearance. That's just what happens. But the love is still there and is even deeper and becomes true love because he appreciates what you are on the inside. All these D words that we've talked about, dependable, devoted, and so on. That's what a wife needs to focus on if she wants her husband to get up and praise her. Not so much on the physical appearance, the outward appearance. Now her children rise up and call her blessed. Why do they do that? Again, the world's philosophy is much different than God's philosophy. The world's philosophy is that they get up and praise you because you let them have everything they wanted. You let them stay up late and sleep in late. You let them have this and that and everything else. That's not why children will rise up and call their mother blessed. They'll rise up and call the mother blessed because they follow God's directions on how to be a parent and how to be a mother, and there may come a day where it would be against the law to say this, and we're very, very close to it, but even the spanking that God dictates in His Word. And so, a mother who is a biblical mother, I can think of a mother right now who has a broken heart and will for the rest of her life, because she wasn't interested in being the virtuous woman to her children. She was more interested in being their best friend. And it worked at first. When they were little, things went well. But now that her children are into young adulthood, I know a mother that will have a broken heart the rest of her life because one of the children will essentially spit in mom's face because she can't stand her mom. You see, that's not a virtuous woman. Biblical motherhood and parenting is how to be a virtuous woman. And only through that method will your children arise up and call you blessed. You know, my mom wasn't saved when I was growing up. And man, she tanned my hide. It's surprising I can still sit down. She tanned my hide. So I shouldn't say that because I let you know what kind of a kid I was. But me and my brothers, man, we got into everything and did everything you could imagine, as long as it was wrong. Do you think we, after the spanking, turned around through the tears that she always brought to our eyes and said, "Thanks, Mom. I'm so glad you did that. I just know that one day it's going to help me." We never said that. You know, we didn't rise up and call her blessed growing up. But even my one brother that we all considered the black sheep, he had the hardest trouble with it, really rebelled badly. Even today, now in adulthood, he'll turn around and say, "I'm so glad Mom did what Mom did." You see, we've got to endure those few years of teaching and training so that when they're adults, they'll look back and they'll understand at that point and be so grateful. But if we just let them run wild and have their own way, and like us as a friend when they're little kids, they'll grow up and despise us because we weren't a mother to them. The virtuous woman will have her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praise her. I think Solomon had Lemuel, who many believe was Solomon, but verse 1 of 31 says, King Lemuel. He must have had someone specifically in mind when he says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." I wonder if he was talking about his mom. I mean, think about it. With 1,000 wives, how could he pick one out and say, "You excel them all"? He probably didn't even know their names. But in verse 30, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." The virtuous woman. Where's your focus, ladies? Where's your focus in being a wife and being a mother? and in just being a woman, where's your focus today? God says if you want praise from your husband, from your children, and from the world, you'll live virtuously as described in this passage of Scripture. I wish we had time to get into all of it, but we covered most of it. But God sums it up. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Do you fear the Lord this morning? Fearing the Lord is more than just a feeling, but it's feeling that brings you into action. The same actions listed and described in this passage of Scripture that render a woman virtuous. I hope you're there. We're going to have an invitation just a moment. If you are there, maybe you need to come and just pray to God for your family. If you're not there, maybe you need to come and pray, God, help me get there. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're not 100% sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, you need to come and just say, preacher, I want to make certain I'm on my way to heaven. You may think and you may hope, but you're not 100% sure. You can be according to the Word of God, and we'd love to have someone take God's Word and show you that. Let's stand, we'll pray, and then we'll have the invitation. Father, we're so grateful for this passage of Scripture we've looked at. We know it's aimed primarily at the women. But Father, oftentimes it's the men that are responsible for the way the women turn out in a society. So Father, first of all, us men need to consider our own hearts. What type of woman do we want our wife to be? And Father, if the answer would come back something other than what was just described for us, Father, I pray that we might come to the altar and just confess that and ask you to give us a renewed heart and a renewed desire. Father, I pray for each mother and each woman here today that they would hope to be, by your grace, the woman described here. And Father, that that would be their aspiration. And Father, that they would do what they can to pattern themselves after the portrait given to us here. And Father, if there be even one here, whether it be a woman or a man, a youth or an adult, that isn't 100% sure of heaven, Father, I pray that as we have the time of invitation, that they just slip out of their seat and come to the front and get my attention, that they might tell me, I need to make that sure. Well, thank you now how you work in hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.